This is Relevant in Rome, a weekly podcast from the Vatican with Relevant Radio Rome correspondent Ashley Nerona. Now here's the latest on Pope Francis and all that's happened in Rome this week.
As always, we always start off with the Holy Father's message. Can you talk about this week's papal audience? What was Pope Francis's message this morning?
Well, John, for many weeks, I have been sharing the catechesis of Pope Francis, which has been focusing on St. Paul's letter to Galatians. Today was actually the last catechesis in that series on the letter to the Galatians. And so today, Pope Francis spoke about St. Paul as an apostle, as a theologian, as a pastor, three different ways that he really seems to present himself in this letter. And Pope Francis said that in the letter, Paul insists that charity is so important because it's the fulfillment of the law. And that insistence of St. Paul should then lead the faithful to enthusiastically pursue the way of Christian love and to really strive to cultivate the fruits of the Holy Spirit. And so that should then be a reminder to not grow weary, to not be discouraged by failures, by lack of progress, but to continue on in a staunch way pursuing that path of Christian love. And today Pope Francis said that if difficulties come up, so for example, if you feel like you're in the midst of a storm, what one should do is to follow the example of the disciples. Do what they did on the boat and wake up Jesus Christ and call for his help. So the Pope called to mind St. Augustine specifically, St. Augustine, who evoked that image of Christ asleep in the boat amid the storm, writing about that and speaking about the importance, that need for awakening Christ in your heart. So trusting in Christ's faithful presence in our hearts and the life-giving power of his Spirit. And please.
Well, I started to say, I'm thinking to myself, it's so awesome to see the Holy Father reminding us of the importance of invoking the Holy Spirit. I always feel like the Holy Spirit is like the sails on a boat, and oftentimes those sails are rolled down, and we're sitting there paddling or we're rowing, trying to use our own effort. What all we have to do is pop up the sail and let the sail take us across the lake.
We have the best helper, the best advocate of all, so we need to remember to call on him. So very true. That life-giving power of the Holy Spirit. And John, today the Pope also spoke about freedom and what freedom means in the lives of the faithful. He said that it's not equal to debauchery. It doesn't mean that you get to just do anything when you have freedom. It shouldn't lead to presumptuousness or to self-sufficiency. But instead, freedom means that you are willing to place yourself, as he said, in love's shadow and to continue in striving for a consistent exercise of charity. Again, that emphasis in the service of charity. And so finally today, the Pope concluded by asking all of the faithful to pray during the month of November for loved ones who've left us, to pray for all of the dead, and to pray specifically that the Lord in his mercy will welcome all the departed into the kingdom of heaven. And he also asked that all consistently rejoice in the newness, the joy, and the freedom of the new life that's proclaimed in the Gospel, John.
Sounds like a very powerful message and a great reminder, especially here in this month of November, the month of the Holy Souls that the Holy Father gave for the entire universal church.
And exactly. And St. Paul gives us that example in the letter to the Galatians about Christ's victory on the cross is what allows us all to proclaim boldly that we have been freed from sin and that we have new life that has been bestowed on us by the Holy Spirit at our baptism. So this is what St. Paul is calling all of us to do every day.
Now, Pope Francis has been preaching with this catechesis on Galatians now for a while. And as you said, today was the last installment. Knowing how the Holy Father thinks, what do you think is coming up next? What do you think he's going to be focused on as we get closer to Advent?
Well, I haven't gotten a sneak peek yet, but usually around this time, we start to focus on that concept of preparation, of course, as Christmas is coming and we will be preparing our hearts and souls. So, a time of recollection, a time of repentance. And so, that is what I anticipate that the audiences in the next few weeks will be focusing on.
Meanwhile, what's going on with that Vatican finance trial that we've talked about recently? Can you give us an update with the latest?
Yes, absolutely. Well, John, you may remember that the last time you and I talked about this, it was all the way back in July, and that is when the trial officially opened. Now, this trial is really being watched by eyes around the world because this is the Vatican's largest trial for financial crimes in the modern era. And it really focuses around Cardinal Angelo Becciu. He was formerly the second in command to the Pope in the hierarchy, so after the head of the Secretary of State, and he, along with nine other people, are on trial. Now, this is being closely followed also by Italians because the Vatican is being called out for hypocrisy, especially in financial crimes, and a lot of the scandal revolves around the use of the funds for Peter's Pence. So that's the Vatican's collection for the poor. So from faithful all over the world who are donating for charitable purposes. And now it's come to light that less than 10% has actually been used towards charitable purposes. So it's expected that the trial is going to reveal more of those details. And also, the trial's revolving around that 350 million euro real estate deal in London, of course, that soured. And then the millions of euro that were traced to have been sent from the Vatican Secretary of State office to Melbourne during the trial of Cardinal Pell and are thought to have been used to help indict him, since, of course, he was trying to clean up the Vatican's finances. So these are the three main issues that are going to be talked about a lot. Now, back in July when we talked about this, John, that you may remember me mentioning that the trial was halted until November, and that was after Vatican prosecutors were given a court order to hand over some missing evidence and missing video depositions. So since then, since the trial has now reopened, that information has been handed over, although now the defense lawyers are saying that portions of the video files of the depositions are missing. So there are about 100 hours of video recordings, about 52 DVDs, and but they found that there were excerpts of statements that were omitted from the recordings. So about 2%, they're saying, were not there. So the material's still incomplete. So what does that mean? Well, the media is saying that this very well could be a tactic, a stall tactic, and we're going to see much more of this so that the trial continues to be delayed. The Italian media, at least, is not very hopeful how much is going to really reveal the corruption at the level of the Secretary of State and at APSO, which handles the patrimony of the Vatican. But I will continue to keep my eyes on the latest on this trial and continue to share it with you and our listeners, John.
Ashley, how concerning do you think this trial is? To me, it seems like it's unprecedented, and it's not a positive thing for our church.
No, it's not. Unprecedented is really the word. A trial of this magnitude for a Vatican official in such a high position. It doesn't seem as though we're going to have a happy ending one way or the other, however this comes out, except for the fact that this could hopefully root out corruption and really bring it to light, really shed some light on what's happening. And so in hopes that a sense of greater transparency will result from that is what we're praying for.
Many feasts going on in Rome. Just yesterday, we had the feast of the dedication of the Lateran Basilica, St. John Lateran. Beautiful feast, and it's unusual to have a feast day for a church, for a building, as opposed to a saint.
That's right, exactly. Yesterday marked that feast of the Cathedral of Rome. So, in other words, it's the anniversary of dedication of the Cathedral of Rome. So, the cathedral is considered the Mater in Caput, the mother and head of all churches. It's the first official basilica. And Constantine built it in thanksgiving for his victory over the at the Milvian Bridge and dedicated it to Christ the Savior and later to St. John the Evangelist and to St. John the Baptist. The property that he built it on was originally belonging to the noble Lateran family. Now, that property had been confiscated by Nero when they converted to Christianity. And so that is why it's called the Lateran Basilica, or nicknamed the Lateran Basilica. There's no Saint Lateran or anything like that, but it's referring to the noble family who once owned that land. And also next to the cathedral itself was the palace where the popes lived until the 14th century. And the Lateran Basilica, of course, is so important. There were five ecumenical councils that were held there. The signing of the Lateran Treaty in 1929 happened there, which is, of course, what made Vatican City its own sovereign state. But right in the middle of it all, John, there behind the main altar is the chair, the cathedra, so the seat of the Bishop of Rome. And so, of course, the Bishop of Rome is the Pope himself always. And so that is what makes the most important church in the world. And so 1 Corinthians 3, 1 Peter 2, which are the readings of yesterday, they talk about how the church is made up of Christians who are living stones. And that church is built on the edifice, on the foundation of Jesus Christ, who is the cornerstone. So beautiful readings, of course, that of course tie in perfectly with that feast. So yesterday, in celebration of the big day, the Cardinal Vicar Angelo Donatus celebrated a special mass there. It was also his 6th anniversary of his episcopal consecration, which took place right there in that very basilica. And it's quite appropriate that Cardinal De Donatus celebrated because he also used to head up the Vicariate, which is right next door. And that's a place that he has been for many, many years. It's a place also my husband John and I have visited many times. You have to go there for stamps for theological treatises, or when I plan weddings for people in Rome, we go there to get all of the paperwork okayed. So that Vicariate office is very important here. And so we remember the day on November 9th at 324 when Pope Sylvester consecrated that church. And that is why the liturgy specifically remembers the Church of St. John Lateran, the Cathedral of Rome, the Mater and Caput, the mother and head of all churches, John.
And I've had the blessing of being able to visit there on many occasions during my travels to Rome for Relevant Radio, and even during our honeymoon. The place is absolutely magnificent. It is so mm-hmm. beautiful. And it's one of the four main basilicas in Rome. I remember a procession for Corpus Christi all the way to Santa Maria Maggiore. What an incredible experience it is to be able to see a place like St. John Lateran, in person. Just so beautiful and so impressive.
Yes, exactly. I'm sure you remember that central nave lined by the fabulous Borromini statues of the apostles.
Absolutely.
Those Baroque statues that really, it's as though the apostles have come to life. It's just so incredible.
It's awe-inspiring, no doubt, Ashley. Well, there's another feast we're talking about today for another great, one of only three official Holy Fathers known as the Great, and we're talking about Pope St. Leo the Great. How is this feast day being celebrated in Roma?
Well, the feast of Pope St. Leo the Great today is celebrated specially in two different churches in Rome, in St. Peter's Basilica, but also in the Church of St. Peter in Chains. So to give you a little background of why that's the case, Pope St. Leo the Great is such an important figure in church history, also because he came at a time of great theological confusion. And he was placed in history between the likes of the Cappadocian fathers, John Chrysostom in the East, and St. Ambrose, St. Augustine in the West in the 300s. But then Pope St. Gregory the Great at the end of the 6th century, and we find Pope St. Leo the Great right in the middle of all that, and during that time of confusion, especially about the understanding of the nature of Christ. And so on his feast day, one of the places I mentioned that people visit is the Church of St. Peter in Chains. That is because it was there that he was both titular cardinal, and he also conducted many of his affairs from there, that Church of St. Peter's in Chains. So it's from that church that he sent his legate with a letter, the Tome of Leo, to the fathers in the Council of Chalcedon. And this explained how Christ is 100% divine, how he is 100% human, and those two natures are hypostatically united. Well, upon hearing this, the father stood up and acclaimed, "Peter has spoken through Leo," rousing applause, right? So he's also known for having received Queen Eudoxia of Jerusalem right there in that church of St. Peter in Chains. Now she, that would later become St. Peter in Chains. Now she came to visit Rome as really a token of reconciliation between the East and West, and she brought a piece of a chain that bound Peter in Jerusalem. So he received her right there at the church because that church contained a piece of a chain that bound Peter when he was prisoner in Rome, right at the foot of the hill where that church is held. So right at the foot of the Oppian Hill in the Mamertine prison. So when Pope St. Leo the Great held those two chains together, they miraculously fused. So that is why today, people will go to the Church of St. Peter in Chains. They will venerate those very chains, which are kept in a reliquary above the altar. And yeah,
so much history. It's so amazing what you can see in Roma that ties back all the way back to the early centuries of our faith. You know, when you think of Pope St. Leo the Great, I can't help but think of our modern day St. John Paul II, who many people believe that he will officially be called the Great at some point, hopefully soon.
Yes, it's true. It's true. In fact, Pope St. Leo the Great, one of his great gifts was in communication, similar to Pope St. John Paul II. He was also an amazing negotiator. He was a peacekeeper, a peace giver. It was he who intervened with Attila the Hun in 451 when Attila was approaching Rome and near Mantua. He met with him. We don't know to this day what was said, but of course we know that Attila and his troops turned around. Attila wasn't necessarily known as the most reasonable guy. So it just goes to show his incredible gifts. And that we see that commemorated in St. Peter's Basilica. There's a fabulous relief there that shows the meeting of the Pope with Attila and St. Peter and Paul above them, with the idea that it was they who provided the supernatural prayer support to make sure that that negotiation went well. And so that's why people will visit St. Peter's Basilica as well today, to visit that relief, to visit the Raphael in the Vatican Museums that shows the same story, but also to visit the burial place of Pope St. Leo the Great himself, right there in St. Peter's Basilica.
Sounds like a great celebration, and I understand in real briefly, we have about 30 seconds, Italians are celebrating American football as well.
Well, can you believe it, John? Yes. In fact, one would never believe that American football had spread to other parts of the world, especially to Italy. But sure enough, they were just crowned the Euro Cup champions, and they have won. They've been on a bit of a winning streak. You may remember that they also won the soccer championship back in July, and they won a volleyball championship recently. They beat Sweden to make them the American football champions of Europe.
Relevant in Rome is your weekly connection to the Vatican. Listen to live reports from Rome with Ashley Narona every Wednesday morning at 7:30 Eastern, 6:30 Central on Morning Air. And listen right here next week to Relevant in Rome for the latest on Pope Francis and news from the Vatican.